Good evening. I'm Erin Granger with the KUAC Newsminer Update. A shift in the weather pattern is expected to make it feel more like spring. National Weather Service meteorologist John Cohen says a low pressure system in western Alaska will channel southerly air over the interior.
Keep us warmer and drier over the next couple of days, and actually with the ridge building in over the eastern half of this day, we'll actually see some warm temperatures working their way back in. Over the next couple of days, maybe looking at around 60 degrees for the Fairbanks area.
Cohen said those readings could jump to the mid-60s Wednesday through the remainder of the week, warming that could jumpstart the river breakup.
We've kind of seen a little bit of a delayed process so far this spring as far as breakup goes, so we will definitely see an acceleration of that into the weekend.
A Weather Service breakup map shows the Yukon River to still be mostly ice-covered. Opponents of oil development in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge are looking to Canada to protect the area from drilling. The Alaska Energy Desk's Elizabeth Harbaugh reports.
Canada's opposition to oil development in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge comes down to the caribou.
When we do lose the caribou, that will be a significant channel of life that will have dried up and shut down forever.
Dana Tija Tram is a Vuntut Gwich'in council member living in Canada's Yukon Territory. The porcupine caribou herd migrates into Canada and is hunted by his people. Like the Gwich'in in Alaska, he believes any disturbance of the herd's calving grounds in the refuge threatens his community. This is not a new issue. In 1987, the United States signed a treaty with Canada requiring both countries to avoid or minimize activities that would disrupt the caribou. Now, as the Trump administration pursues oil development in the refuge, Tija Tram says the agreement means the U.S. is obligated to consult with Canada before it drills there.
We really have a legitimate voice here.
Canada's leadership agrees. In an emailed statement, an embassy spokesman said the federal, territorial, and Indigenous governments in Canada are united in their commitment to the conservation of the herd and its habitat. U.S. environmental groups see the treaty as a way to stall the push for oil development in the refuge. Mike Anderson is a lawyer with the Wilderness Society in Seattle.
Certainly the Canadians have made it clear that they expect the treaty to be observed and implemented.
But Anderson acknowledges the treaty has limits. He says the final decision will be up to the U.S. Yuta Brunet, an international environmental law professor with the University of Toronto, agrees. Brunet says the agreement is legally binding. It requires the U.S. to promptly consult with Canada if the herd is significantly harmed. But, she says,
that's, I think, as far as we can take it. There's no commitment that either side makes that they would stop development.
That said, American supporters of oil development in Anwar are not concerned about Canadian interference. Canadian representatives in Washington, D.C. actively lobbied against the provision in last year's tax bill that opened up the refuge to drilling. So Senator Dan Sullivan says he called the Canadian ambassador for what he referred to as a very frank discussion.
And the first thing I said was, Ambassador, I'm not sure you understand what your own country's interests are.
Sullivan says he told the ambassador to cease and desist the lobbying campaign. In later meetings with Canadian officials, he says he passed along this message.
We're, of course, going to work with Canada, but this kind of action undermines your own country's interests because we're going to remember it.
True to his word, Sullivan says he's preparing to introduce a bill related to the Oil Spill Liability Trust Fund, a fund that oil producers must pay into, which is used to cover the cost of oil spill cleanups.
Canadian tar sands that comes across the border into the United States, produced in Alberta, has never had to pay that fee. Well, I think we should close that loophole.
Asked if this was in direct response to Canada's lobbying actions last year, Sullivan responded,
let's just put it, we were thinking about it. We hadn't made a final decision, and their actions certainly help us make the final decision.
Like many proponents of drilling in Anwar, the senator believes the caribou can stay healthy alongside oil development if it's done responsibly. But he doesn't dismiss that the U.S. must uphold its obligations under its 1987 treaty. So Canada may ultimately take its seat at the table. But whether it can convince the U.S. to stop oil development in Anwar is a much taller order. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Elizabeth Harbaugh in Anchorage.
A Washington state man is charged with setting a fire at the Cantwell Lodge Sunday. Alaska State Troopers report that 33-year-old Jason Kapfer of Spokane fled the scene of the early morning fire that destroyed the hotel portion of the lodge located in Cantwell near intersection of the Parks and Denali Highways. Kapfer was arrested Sunday afternoon while walking north along the Alaska Railroad tracks. Troopers say Kapfer, who is also accused of damaging vehicles at the lodge, is charged with arson and criminal mischief. He's jailed at Fairbanks Correctional Center. Kapfer's Facebook page said he had recently taken a job at the Three Bears grocery store in Healy. For more on tonight's stories and others, go to newsminer.com or kuac.org. I'm Erin Granger.